Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and our 2010 election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, begins tomorrow. This is an annual thing that we do here, if you don't already know, and while other media only obsess on the horse race, we will explore one issue every day from tomorrow until the day before Election Day. Issues of relevance this year to the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut elections, and the national midterm congressional races. We begin tomorrow with the question, true or false? A tax on the wealthy is a tax on small business. But we are reserving six of the 30-issue slots to be nominated and voted on by you. You can do so on our new politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Itsafreecountry.org. And we'll open the phones right now for some 30-issues nominations on the air. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's do this together. Nominate an issue that you think it's important that we explore in the campaign season. They can be relevant to the Cuomo-Palladino race in New York, the Blumenthal-McMahon Senate race in Connecticut, the national midterm elections in any way. Your choice. Our 30 issues will run the gamut of local and national. So again, this year, you can post your issue nominations and vote for your own or someone else's this year on our new politics website called itsafreecountry.org. Or you can call us right now on the air. We want to know, real quick, some issues that we should discuss at 212-433-WNYC. So we're not just in the old media sense sitting around and scratching our heads and thinking what issues we think are important and barking them at you. We are putting this together with you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Nominate an issue for our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series, which begins in this time slot tomorrow. And as we wait for calls to come in, let's talk to Mika Sifri, co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum, as well as the really great technology and politics website, techpresident.com. He spends his time thinking about ways to get citizens engaged directly with important political issues. And as it happens, you have until Thursday of this week to participate in his latest big project called 10 Questions, which we've been partnering with. Through it, the Personal Democracy Forum is gathering questions from you and posting them or posing them directly to the candidates in this fall's elections. Many of the candidates have already pledged to answer the 10 questions question list directly online, a step forward in peer-to-peer democracy. So, Mika Sifri, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be here, Brian.
And I think people can keep these two thoughts in their head at the same time, and that these two numbers, the 30 issues nomination and the 10 questions nominations for the candidates. But the bottom line is we're trying to get people involved directly in the election, not just sit back and consume it from the media. What kinds of questions are coming in?
Well, we're actually getting lots of interesting questions here in New York. And it's important for people to understand that we're doing this with a focus on the competitive races in New York State. So that's the governor's race and the Gillibrand Senate race and a couple of House races, not every single one. So if you go to 10 questions and want to ask a question of your congressman and they're not listed there, it's basically because we couldn't cover every single race and really do the job that we want to do. People are asking about things like the role of special interests in the political process and what the candidates' positions are on fixing that problem. People are asking about natural gas drilling and the fracking issue. They're asking about support for education. There's a new video up about asking about their position on marriage equality, about public school reform. There's really a nice mix. And if you go to 10questions.com, you've still got three more days to post your own question. We'll take them in text form or in video form. If you know how to upload a video to YouTube, it's as easy as that. And and anybody can vote. You get one vote per IP address, and we are monitoring to try and make sure that nobody tries to stuff any ballots. You can vote positively or negatively. If you don't like a question, you can vote it down. So questions really have to sort of appeal to a broad group of people. And the most exciting thing about this project is the number, not just the number of questions that have been coming in, but the number of people voting and the expectation that after the candidates answer, that we'll be able to vote on whether we thought they actually answered the question. It's building a kind of feedback loop, because all too often, you know, we have debates. And, you know, a journalist asks a question and the candidate just says whatever they want. And there's really no way to incentivize better behavior in that situation. And we think the Internet gives us an opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. Well, here's somebody with a question. Joseph in Massapequa. Hi, Joseph. You're on WNYC.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for calling.
My question is, I'm a small business owner in Long Island, and I actually own a beauty salon, and my accountant is telling me, get ready for January because your taxes are going to go up. Now, just to kind of understand this Obama tax reform, is they're stating that it's going to affect people who are making $250,000 and over. How is it going to directly affect this whole tax reform? How is it going to basically affect people who are middle class, maybe owning, you know, maybe earning $70,000, $75,000, $80,000 a year, possibly, and they're a small business owner, maybe they have four or five employees. How is that going to affect the tax structures? Is our federal tax and income tax going to go up?
Thank you for posing that question. And it's almost as if you were a plant, which I know you're not, because I think you're a first-time caller, right?
Yes.
And the first topic in our 30-issue series, which will be at this time tomorrow, is true or false, a tax on the wealthy is a tax on small business. And we will have somebody more inclined to say that's true and somebody more inclined to say that's false, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, on the show tomorrow. And so hopefully we'll get you a question by get you an answer to your question by spending about a half hour on that tomorrow.
All right. Am I on the air right now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
You didn't realize? And feel free to call back tomorrow during that and talk about how you think it would affect your small business.
I don't know if I can because I'm going to be working. I'm just concerned about that. And my other question that I wanted to ask is, you know, in my type of business, it's very, very, it's virtually impossible to pay for a lot of the employees come in and say, you know, do you have a health plan? Which I do, but I say you have to pay into it. You know, if you want it, you have to pay into it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can pay a very small portion of it. Now with the new Obama medical reform, the health plan, health reform, is that going to affect a small business like myself where we're going to be forced to offer it to them? Does that mean we have to pay for it? Because I can hardly pay for myself.
Right. There are some pay or play elements to that, and Joseph, we will definitely do, I can promise you, a segment on Obamacare health reform and how it will affect people like you as well as people in other different categories. So thank you very much for your call, and if you want, you can post your questions as nominations and your topics as nominations to our site at itsafreecountry.org or at Mika's site, 10questions.org, and hopefully we will get you some meaningful answers as the election coverage goes on. Let's just take another call with another question and another topic. Christopher and Armand. Christopher, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Brian. You know, one of my concerns is that in our local school district, which is an excellent school district, about 95% of the tax dollars of the budget is funded through property taxes. So about 70% of my property taxes go to the school district. And as property taxes escalate, I made a prediction that by the time I retire, my property taxes will be about $90,000. I'm 46 now. I want to know if there's going to be some readdress on how we fund our schools in this state, as opposed to being a fixed property tax, which is an escalating tax, as opposed to a progressive tax,
right,
let's say through income tax, to fund our schools.
So you're recommending that the income tax, state income tax in this case, and then distributed to the local school districts, be more of the funding mechanism for public schools.
I think at some point it has to be, because the escalating property taxes are such that as soon as people are finished sending their children to the school, they have to leave because the tax burden is becoming so huge. Whereas if it were a progressive tax, you're paying it while you're making it, and then when you retire, your income changes, one can afford to stay in their house.
Christopher, thank you for your call. And Mika, of course, this is something we've seen in New Jersey, for example, and we see it in New York, too, with a campaign for fiscal equity lawsuit that did result in more state funding for districts that are considered underfunded. The Abbott districts in New Jersey, where the state enhances whatever the local property tax is bringing in, you know, which is not as much, obviously, in poorer areas as in wealthier areas. People are so concerned about property taxes. People are being so affected, certainly in our whole area, by rising property taxes. Are people posting about property taxes? Are people suggesting property tax questions in the 10 Questions Project very much?
Yes, there are questions about taxes and tax reform. The specific question that Christopher asked and the way he asked would be a great addition. And it's very easy if he wants to go on the site and type it in as a text question or put it in as a video question at 10questions.com. And there's still one thing that people may not realize. If you want to get your questions answered by politicians, you know, one way is you have to show up where a politician is speaking, or you have to get a lot of people together to try and push that question into a venue, whether it's your show, where hopefully you'll have each of the candidates on at some point between now and November, and you can pose some of these questions to them, as I know you will.
We're going to try.
Or we will do it with our partner, also the Albany Times Union upstate, is going to help us get all these questions to the candidates, and we'll give them a couple of weeks to post their answers. So there's still a window of opportunity here. We've designed the site to make it easy for anyone not just to post a question, but to share it. You can retweet it, or you can Facebook it and spread it that way. If you have your own website, you can embed the question on your site and just have your friends or supporters all click and vote on the question there. And, you know, the goal is to get to amalgamate people's voices, because all too often it's just one individual, one at a time. And unfortunately, our representatives like to avoid answering hard questions. And I think before we elect anybody, I think we would all agree that they ought to have to answer tough questions from the public and in a way where they can't dodge and weave.
And again, if you're just joining us, this is a segment where we're not trying or presuming to answer your tough questions, but we're gathering questions for Mika Sifri and the Personal Democracy Forum's 10 Questions Project, which we've been partnering with this summer, to collect a list of questions nominated by and voted by you to be posed to all the candidates in competitive races in the midterm congressional elections, and also to the gubernatorial candidates in New York State, and also gathering issue topic suggestions from you for our 30 Issues in 30 Days campaign series, which begins on this program tomorrow. Just looking at the 10 questions list, it looks like the top-ranked question that you have on 10 questions right now in the Cuomo-Palladino race is, do you believe that special interests warp the political process and detract from executing the best informed will of the people? Do you support the Fair Elections Now Act and similar legislation for all electoral jurisdictions? So somebody posted that question, and I guess other people have voted it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know exactly what the Fair Elections Now Act is?
That's a congressional public financing law that is designed to give candidates who raise a certain amount in small donation a lot of public matching funds, so they don't have to be dependent on private contributors. I believe it's going to a vote in the House Administration Committee this week. It's a bit of a long shot to get it through Congress, though Common Cause and Public Campaign have been working hard to try and get that bill forward in response to the problem of money in politics. Obviously, there isn't a corollary for New York State. So God knows we're kind of the Wild West here in terms of campaign finance. So that's an excellent question for our gubernatorial candidates to have to answer.
Certainly New York State at the state level is the Wild West in terms of campaign finance, where the maximum contribution you can make to a campaign is $150,000.
Yeah, it's like having no limits.
And if you launder it through a limited liability corporation, as some of the biggest donors do, each LLC can give $150,000, and so multiply by infinity. T. Howard in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi.
You have a question to suggest or a topic?
Well, I think, Brian, I think we are kind of missing the point in reference to what we really should be thinking about, because oil is our key factor here. And getting oil and finding oil and transporting oil is the backbone of our whole society. And we haven't figured out something very important that a scientist has figured out, but the major oil companies refute, and it's satellite imaging forecasting, which is a no empty holes, no dry wells, environmentally free and safe methodology that was employed in Siberia. And it was proven 100% effective in drilling wells that were detected at that exact X marked spot location. And this was the backbone for British Petroleum's ability to pay this $20 billion fine.
T. Howard, thank you for your call. We will put that in the hopper. Ruth in Westchester. Can I go right to Ruth? I think somebody's on that line. Can I put line 10 on the air here? Ruth, can I go? There we go. Ruth in Westchester, you're on WNYC. You have a question or a topic to suggest?
I do. My question is about gun violence, and if any candidate is prepared to do something like propose an appeal of the Second Amendment, because I think the Supreme Court has just come out with a ruling that says that you do have a right to bear arms, and I think that New York State has tried to limit guns in our state, but we can't do it alone. So I think the only next step has to be to repeal the Second Amendment.
Repeal the Second Amendment. Ruth, thank you. Do you get many constitutional amendments proposed in the 10 questions list?
Actually, I've not seen a lot. I would certainly love that question to get in there. The issue that has arisen in some places, thanks to the Tea Party, is whether we should repeal the 17th Amendment, I think, which applies to direct election of senators. But democracy is a beautiful thing. So people should just jump in and post those questions and then tell their friends, tell their colleagues, you can go to 10 questions, vote it up, and then you're going to have some media muscle behind getting those questions answered by the candidates for governor, for senator, and for some of these competitive House races, whether it's WNYC or the Albany Times Union. We will endeavor to get them to answer those top 10.
The 17th Amendment, by the way, for people who don't know, the House used to elect the Senate. The House was directly elected by the people, and then the House elected the Senate, right?
I thought it was state senators who elected the Senate. Which
it was state legislators. Well,
yeah.
Maybe I remember that wrong.
We'll have to check, right?
Okay, maybe it was state. Maybe you're right, actually. That would make more sense.
Which is how the railroad barons put senators into the U.S. Senate.
I was thinking it was the state congressional delegations, but maybe you're right, and it was the state senators or the state legislatures until the 17th Amendment came along. So just tell us on your way out the door, and we have Margaret Atwood standing by. What is your experience with this 10 questions project and having people nominate and vote on questions to ask candidates? Some might think, aren't all the most important questions being asked by professional journalists anyway?
Well, I actually see 10 questions as opening the sieve a lot wider, because journalists tend to behave in a world of scarcity. They have limited time, limited access, and limited space, to produce the results of their reporting, if they're newspaper journalists especially, or TV. And the Internet opens that sieve much, much wider. And the result is that citizens who have a lot of concerns on their mind raise all sorts of interesting questions. And so we're getting a wonderful variety on 10questions.com. The one thing that people worried about is that we would get frivolous questions. And I have seen the community on the site, the people who are using it, they can vote them up or they can vote them down. And the frivolous questions are tending to get all voted down. So people are taking this seriously, and they obviously want more avenues to hear from candidates taking positions, not necessarily always just the top three hot-button topics. And the beauty of the Internet is it's an abundant space. There's plenty of room, and there's plenty of time for people to go into more detail. So we're looking forward to ending the first phase of voting this Thursday night and then turning to the candidates, working to get their answers up online, and then we'll go through the last phase of voting on whether they actually answered the questions at the end of October. And I look forward to coming back to talk to you about that hopefully then.
Absolutely. And we will partner with you in that phase, trying to get some of the candidates involved here and posing some of the voted 10 questions on to the candidates publicly on the air. By the way, we did look it up, and you were right, the 17th Amendment. Originally, each senator was elected by the state legislature.
Okay,
not
Brian.
The state congressional delegation. So, and it was 1913, so it's been less than 100 years that Americans have been able to elect their U.S. senators directly.
And that was a progressive reform, I'd like to point out.
There you go. All right, listeners, so you can post your question nominations directly to the Personal Democracies Forum site. That's 10questions.com, 10questions.com, or through our politics page, itsafreecountry.org, and also on It's a Free Country, you can nominate issues for our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series, which will begin tomorrow with the question, true or false, a tax on the wealthy is a tax on small business. Post your 30 Issues in 30 Days issue nominations to itsafreecountry.org. Mika Sifri, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
And Margaret Atwood, next.